When Las Vegas businessman Jared Fisher announced his plan to run for governor last year, he did so by riding his bike across the state. Since then, the political outsider has faced an uphill battle to gain traction ahead of next month's Republican primary. KUNR's Paul Boger sat down with Fisher to talk about why he wants to run for the state's top job.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about yourself and why you want to be governor?
Well, I am a nearly a 28-year resident here in Nevada, and I'm a business owner from the private sector. I started my company at UNLV in 1992. Our company employs about 50 people here in Nevada, and we have extended our company throughout the Southwest United States. And so with where I'm at in my career, it's about that time for me to give back to my state, and I found that where I can serve my state best would be in an executive role here in Nevada, hence governor.
What are the issues at this point that you see are most important to the state?
Well, of no surprise, clearly education is one of the major issues that we face, and that's for many reasons. Our kids need to have that opportunity to excel in life, and that's, you know, our K through 12 program is far from satisfactory. And, you know, if I'm looking at Nevada from 30,000 feet and I see that, you know, we've got a state that's ranked historically at the bottom of the list, I would reconsider moving my company here.
So what do you do to improve education?
Well, there's a lot of different steps. I have a 9-point plan that's on my website. But we need to, number one, I think we need to tear down the Nevada plan, which is 51 years old. We're putting Band-Aids on a plan that in its day may have served well. And I understand the funding concept behind it, but it's 51 years old. We can't keep adding to this plan and every year doing something different to it. What we need to do is take it down, figure out how to refund our schooling. We need to make our schools more efficient. One of the programs that I have that I would like to implement if elected is called the SWEET program, which is the Statewide Executive Efficiency Program. And essentially, it goes to all the state agencies that are funded by the state, and it looks at the efficiencies and inefficiencies in those areas. And what we would do was find out where we're, you know, where we're excess, where we're not, where we're doing two jobs that could be done by just doing one job, and we're trimming the fat, and we'll find the ways that we can be more efficient. Because the number one way to cut costs anywhere, to reduce your debt, is to be more efficient, and that we are not in government. It's enough's enough. You know, as a businessman, I wouldn't let that happen in my business. And as a governor, I wouldn't let that happen in Carson City.
Well, the reason I say it is that, you know, with your candidacy, with the Republican candidate in general, you know, you're going to have to rely on the rural counties. A lot of rural counties start getting a little worried when you say, you know, getting rid of the Nevada plan. So I'm just kind of curious.
Oh, no, it's a great question. I appreciate you asking that. I didn't say we're going to unfund the rurals. I just said we're going to redo the Nevada plan. And maybe some of that fat's going to be trimmed right out of Clark County down south. I can tell you right now, I don't know where 1,400 people are working efficiently in the Clark County School District Administration Building. I can't figure that out. I've been down there, I've looked at it, and I can tell you we can trim a lot of money right out of there.
If you become governor, you're very likely going to have to work with a Democratic legislature. You know, what do you think you can do as a conservative Republican to either work with lawmakers or counter an agenda that you may not agree with?
Well, I think one of the things that I do bring to the table is I'm a member of, and my wife has started a nonprofit called Save Red Rock Down South. And we have about 50,000 members. And we have shown that it's basically bipartisan. So we've grown a lot of Democratic friendships down there, down south. So I know that we bring a lot of people to the table. And so as far as bringing things to Carson City, you know, I'm going to lay down the principles, and then we're going to work off of those principles. And that's the way I'll do it. And that's the way I do it currently right now in business, and that's the way I'll do it in Carson City.
There was a significant tax increase in Southern Nevada, the room tax for the new stadium. And where do you fall on that?
Well, you know, if I was ever to call a special session and the word education wasn't on the top of the list, you know, I would be doing the wrong thing. In this state, when education is our number one thing for future, for not only our kids, but business growth and our economy, we better be talking about that. The Raiders are great and nice, and I love that, and we need a professional team. You know, had I known the Golden Knights were going to, you know, just rail it so well, we may not have needed that Raider Stadium. But as far as the Raider Stadium goes, you know, that's going to cost over $1 billion. It's beyond the number that they stated. That's going to cost us a lot of money, and I'm not comfortable with that. And I probably would not have called a special session for a Raider stadium. But now that we're in there, you know, it's hard to take the candy from the kid. So we're going to move forward. You know, we're not going to stop building roads to go to the stadium. You know, that would not be the right thing to do, in my opinion. We're going to support the Raiders, but we're going to work our way through this. We're going to find ways that the Raiders can contribute back to our state, because we're giving them a lot.
In that same vein, Nevada was hit hardest during the recession. You know, how do you work as governor to continue to diversify Nevada's economy?
Well, I tell you one thing, you have to build a business-friendly environment. You have to have reasons for businesses to come here. You can't pop high taxes in front of businesses. That is the number one thing. When taxes go up, you get less of something. So the idea behind raising taxes is not a good idea. It's like the commerce tax. You know, my personal opinion, we didn't need to do that. What we should have done is, you know, started looking at our efficiencies in government and ways to cut. But we need to diversify this economy even more than Sandoval has been doing. And, you know, I think he's done a good job bringing businesses here, and I commend him on that. Now, were all those negotiated well? Well, that's where we need a business guy in government, because when businessmen talk about negotiations, we know how to do it well. That's what we do for a living. And, you know, our business is on the line. So we need to bring companies here, but we need to be smart about how we negotiate with them. So that is the key to our future. You know, I think that's what I can do best for our state is bring economic development here. We can't just do tourism. We've got to get into other industries, but we have to make sure that we can afford to do that. We have to make sure that we have the resources to do that.
Would you repeal the commerce tax?
Before, I thought I would, but honestly, I think at this point, the one thing that I would like to do is turn that from a gross sales to a net sales and make it realistic, because I mean, hitting a business with gross sales is not the right thing to do. So I would look at doing something like that for sure. I would do something with the commerce tax.
I want to talk about gun control. Where do you stand and what role does the state play in advancing gun control?
I like to use the term gun rights, if I may. So I don't think that we should control the guns, so to speak. I think what we need to do as a state is we need to, you know, what I believe in is we should support the Second Amendment. And I've told people this a million times. You know, I can go to Home Depot for $18 and I can build a potato gun and I can walk into a school and I can kill anybody I want. And so it's not the guns as it is the people. That's when we start talking about mental health and we start talking about these people that are actually doing these things. And do we need to have gun-free zones and those types of things? We need to look at those issues. But, you know, I think we're wasting money and we're wasting time when we're talking about restricting people's ability or right to have a gun. And, you know, I've told people that I won't sign into law new legislation restricting our, you know, our Second Amendment rights. But I have kids in school and I care very much about every kid in school. And if we can currently take care of those laws that we currently have and we follow through with those laws that we have, we'll have a safer state. And that's what we need to do.
What about the background checks?
Background checks? Well, I mean, there comes a point where, I mean, like I say, we've got to follow through with what we currently have. I think that our last initiative we had on background checks, I think that needs to be revisited. The Attorney General basically balked away from that, and I don't think that was the right thing to do. I think that we have I would have a responsibility as governor to make sure that can or cannot be enforced properly. And I think we owe that to the people of the state. I don't care if it's 50.001 to 49.999. The people voted on it, and my responsibility as governor to make sure we follow through with that properly.
You know, I'm curious. You're not a politician. You're a businessman, like you've told me. You know, why get into this race?
Yeah, that's a why. Why would I? Huh, that's a good question. I have a lot of people ask me that because I come from a business that is all about taking people out into the great outdoors and having a good time and big smiles on their face. And why? And these people say, why would you want to go into something where they hate you? And you know, that's a legitimate question, but I feel I have a responsibility to my state at this point. You know what? I came here for a great education at UNLV, best school in the country for hotel management, and I raised my kids here. They're doing great. You know, I'm living off of Nevada's, you know, the bounty of Nevada, and it's my time to give back to this state. And, you know, like I said earlier, I mean, the role that I feel that I can best contribute to this state is in an executive position. So, yeah. I'm all for it. I love challenges. You know, I love going out and racing my mountain bike 100 miles. So I'd have no problem, you know, getting hit with some punches. I'm all for it.
According to polling done by the Nevada Independent, you're way behind in the polls against Adam Laxalt. Now, is that discouraging to you?
No, not at all. Yeah, because Ralston's, you know, he's known about our, you know, my run for governor for a long time, and he consistently tries to keep me out of that paper. And so, you know, I've been out working the streets. I've been knocking on doors. You know, I have a legitimate amount of money in this too. I'm not just some guy off the street who's, I want to run for governor. I mean, I've invested a lot in this. We have a team up north, a team down south. We have paid staff. We have lots of volunteers. You know, we're in this, and I know, but his polling didn't poll my customers, so to speak. And if we're talking business terms, you know, I've been working the 18 to 45 year old crowd, and you know what, that wasn't in his polls. So I think the poll was bunk.
Where, you know, how do you go about attracting more voters? What is the plan at this point? I know you said you've been out knocking on doors.
Well, I mean, most importantly for me, without divulging all my trade secrets on radio, I have a plan and I've been working my plan. I'm a successful business guy. I know what I need to do to win this. You know what? It may not be enough at the end of the day, but it's not because I didn't try and work really hard at it.
At the end of the day, why should voters elect you?
I'm not a politician, and I know people are sick of politicians. You know, love or hate President Trump, he's outside the box, and he's making changes, and it's scared a lot of people. The way they had things set in stone and the way politics were going in Washington, he disrupted that place. And we cannot keep doing the same thing. So I'm not a politician, and I'm a successful business guy, and I have a track record to show it.
Jared Fisher is a businessman and Republican candidate for governor. Thank you so much for joining me.
And thank you very much. I appreciate it.